Okay, so discussion two. Okay, so question one. What psychological conflicts drive the characters or the plot? So one of the biggest psychological conflicts in my story is the identity struggle. And I touched on this a little bit in the last discussion, but it's more about how these kids don't have a sense of identity. They come fresh out of school and they're enlisted into the army. And the term that's used is like the lost generation, but like they lose all feeling and all emotion because they're taught to be a certain way when they're in the trenches and when they're fighting in the war, because it's like we said, it's their job and they have no choice. And when the war is over, they know nothing else. So I think that psychological impact is definitely negative, and that definitely drives the story, because it's they discuss more about their lives. And there's in the fourth chapter, there's a whole section just talking about what they're going to do when the war is over, and a lot of them don't have any answers. And one of the characters, I can't remember what his, like, I don't know really how to say his name, but he like wants to, his like biggest goal in life is to plot revenge on one of their I think he's in a corporal, like Himmelstoss. He like wants to plot revenge on him for like embarrassing him, but like that's not a life goal that people should be like trying to achieve. Like, you're 17, 18, 19, or 20, like, mm-hmm. You should have life goals after the war. And knowing that like that's what his idea of like a life is really sad to think about, because that's the extent of his life.
So I have like two, I guess, because I have two characters. So one for Marie, her biggest conflict psychologically is being blind. Like, she can't see anything and she has to pretty much live her life by through other people. She doesn't have any independence and she relies mainly on everyone else to kind of help her through life and stuff. And so like during the war and stuff, when things aren't as her like normal schedule, because like her schedule is going to get interrupted, I feel like it's going to be a really big kind of change of environment for her, and it's going to really throw her off. And another one is like my character Werner, and how he doesn't want to work in the mines. Everyone tells him that he's not going to amount to anything, but he just doesn't want to be ordinary and be like everyone else. He like thrives to create stuff and do something with his life, but everyone around him is telling him that he can't and he'll never make it. So that's definitely a big plot driver.
Yeah, so for my character, Bruno, his physical conflict is about when his father's job, he has to like deal with the fact that he has to move every time, whether it's his choice or not, whether he likes it or not, he has to face the fact that he has to move all the time. Whether it's his mother telling him that we're moving into a different city, forcing him to move, not because he wants to, because he has to, you know. But
I would say for a big psychological conflict for Ellie is when they went to Auschwitz and he had to get separated from his family, like for a 15-year-old kid losing his mom and his sister and staying with his dad, that's pretty hard. Especially that you don't know what's happened to them. If they're dead, they're alive. They're like, you don't know, you're lost.
Yeah.
So that was pretty tough for him.
I think for the idea that a 15-year-old who went from a happy community with, you know, all his friends living in the same neighborhood to like the next night, they're forced to march like 2 kilometers to the nearest camp, and they have to do this for continuous times. It puts a lot of stress on the characters, and like knowing that the fact that they're forced to hard labor and that people are dying around them, there's the furnaces, they're killing the people, their families being beaten for no reason, is a lot to take in for the characters.
I think one of the biggest things that all of our characters have in common is like the fear of like not knowing what's gonna happen next,
yeah.
And like, if they're gonna like live or die.
If they're gonna die the next morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just like not knowing what to expect at
yeah.
all, really.
And like all of them live in fear of that, right? And like whether it's shown in the book or not, they all live in fear of
like
death.
Like it's not directly mentioned, but passively, like,
yeah.
They don't want to die. But
yeah.
They just want to survive and hope to like find a family again.
Exactly.
Make it back home.
And then when they talk about like their families, they talk about their lives, it's like it's almost nostalgic and it's really like sad to read about because you realize that like this is all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they it's a strong, strong sense of fear, like perpetual fear throughout the story. Whether they're making jokes or they're like talking to the friends or they're like alone, like it doesn't matter. It's just always in the background.
Yeah.
Like that's a strong like theme throughout all the stories. Okay, so second question, what significant symbols are going to have a psychological effect on the characters in the story? So one of the biggest things that I noticed was in every chapter, Paul, like the, like he kind of describes like how hard it is to be in the trenches. He doesn't describe war as much initially in the beginning of every chapter. So like in the chapter, in like chapter 5, he talks about like the unsanitary conditions of like life in the trenches. And he talks about how everything, like they make jokes about it, but it's never like funny. But he goes into deep like detail about how people around him are constantly like dying. And he, I think it was, there was like a word that he used, but it was like human animals is like what people turn into when they're in the trenches. And like that puts a big toll on the characters psychologically because you're like dehumanizing them. And the way that he describes them makes it really difficult to like read it as if they're like human. Like you can't empathize with it.
My symbol is really different. Marie, her dad built her this like model of their like city that they live in Paris, and he like makes it out of paper and stuff, and it's so she can like trace her fingers, and it's like extremely detailed, so she traces her fingers and is able to see like every street, every pothole, everything, so she can know how to get to and from her house. Like her dad makes it so she's able to kind of be a little more independent and not be so dependent on him to get her to and from places. And I think it represents, like, their old life before the war and stuff. Because, like, as they have to move to Marie's father's, like, uncle's place, she always talks about, like, how it's going to go back to normal and she'll go back to her room where the model house is and everything. And, like, she has it, like, in her pocket with her as she goes. But as she goes on the journey, it gets kind of wrecked and broken. So it's kind of showing that, like, their life that they have, like, known is getting wrecked and broken throughout the war. And then Werner has, like, this old radio that he, like, fixed up all by himself, and him and his sister listen to it, like, every single night. They stay up all night just, like, listening to the radio and listening to different, like, not podcasts, but, like, different shows that are happening all around the world. And it kind of represents the relationship between Werner and his younger sister. And then one day when he gets this opportunity to go to this, like, school to become, like, a soldier pretty much, and he breaks the radio. And I think that kind of represents him breaking the relationship between him and his sister because he's leaving his sister behind and going to a very faraway place to kind of do something for himself.
So for Bruno, the psychological symbols would be like him not knowing his father is a soldier, him not knowing that the war is going on at this moment and why they keep moving because his father's in the war and all that. He has to keep moving from, and then not knowing that what war is in general.
Well, my character started off with just living a peaceful life in like a community with all the Jewish friends and family and neighbors he had. And just one day where his dad just goes away to like some meeting and then comes back, it tells them that they have to move. And they start packing up and they, out of nowhere, just leave everything behind. All their savings, all their memories and the place they grew up in and lived in. Just leave all that behind and move somewhere that they don't even know where they're going. And then they go to the Auschwitz and then get separated from their families without knowing where their moms or sisters are going, just staying with his dad. That was effective.
So the main symbol is the gates of Auschwitz, where it says, labor makes you free.
Okay.
And it's surprising that the main character, the author, remembers this throughout his life, as this is something that impacts him, because he knows that Auschwitz is not a happy place. You know, people die, people burn, and the fact that labor makes you free is a bit ironic, because you're never free in Auschwitz. You're guaranteed to die, or you're gonna work yourself to death. So it's a very, I don't know, heavy symbol.
Yeah.
I guess you can say, yeah.
I think that, like, it's kind of represents, though, like, not just Auschwitz, but just kind of, like, everywhere in the world, because, like, it's supposed to be, like, you know, like, America and everything is supposed to be free, but, like, no one's really free right now at all. Like, no one can leave their house. Like, it talks so much. There's, like, one of my characters is, like, literally stuck in a house. They can't leave because there's just soldiers everywhere, and it kind of just shows how, like,
all these people
not
are, like,
just Auschwitz and everything.
Yeah.
Everyone's trapped.
Everyone's, like, forced into this life of war, and, like, it's, like,
it's,
we talk
yeah,
about.
Like even at home, like in America, it changed. They went from economy to a war economy. They have to make war products. They have to make rifles, bullets.
It's not like a choice for anyone. Like even like the people who are in the camps are just as stuck as the people who are in the trenches, and the people who are like stuck in the cities, like you said, they can't like leave their houses. Like they're forced into this life, and it's like, for what purpose? It's like the purpose has been lost in all like the it's so like inhumane, because we refer, like, when you talk about war, you don't talk about the people and like the impact it has on them. You talk about the countries and like how the economic or political issues are like affecting the countries, but it's never like spoken about in an emotional sense. And so when you read about like the psychological impact it has on these people, it becomes really difficult to like justify war, because it affects everybody poorly or like negatively, but like just in a different way.
Okay, we'll go to the next question.
Okay. Are there prominent words in the piece that could have different or hidden meanings? Could there be subconscious reasons for the author using these problem words? So, like I had mentioned earlier, like there was just like a phrase that was used, like human animals, that I kind of liked, because it showed how the lack of compassion isn't derived from like the lack of emotion that this person, like that like any of these people have, any of the soldiers have. It's just because they're forced to think a certain way. And I think that was just like the author showing the people, like showing the readers the people, showing the readers that like it's not a decision, but he kind of describes how they like turn into animals, and it's like an animal instinct. He says like, by the animal instinct that is awakened in us, like where we are led and protected.
Like the id.
Yeah.
Like
and
the
so
id.
It's like how the war is bringing out kind of like a negative id in a way, like exactly.
Not the, like the fight or flight kind of thing.
Exactly. So I think that was just like, that was one section of the story I really liked, just because it showed how, even though it's not something that's wanted, it's just something that's coming out in all the soldiers.
I was, like, really confused, but there's, like, this one chapter, it's, like, on page, like, 164, and it was really confusing because they described, like, a completely different man that, like, has not been introduced in the story and then, like, wasn't ever introduced again. Like, I don't know. I think they're going to bring him up again, but they, like, just talked about, like, this guy. They talked about his appearance and they talked about his life. He was, like, a baker or something in the war, like, in the city that one of the characters is stuck in. And I didn't get it until I read it, like, twice. And it, I think they were trying to, he was, like, the author was trying to show, like, what it was like from a different, completely regular citizen perspective. So, like, it shows, like, a completely different view on how others are viewing what's happening right now. Because they're all, like, stuck in their house while, like, all the German soldiers are taking over the streets and, like, forcing them to get rid of, like, all their radios and stuff. And it just, like, shows how the war is affecting, like, the rest of the town, since the characters are in the house and, like, they never leave. Yeah, so it kind of just shows just how war is really taking every, like, basic daily point of someone's life and just completely changing it 360. Like, this baker that used to bake, like, bread and everything like that, he's no longer doing that. He's doing whatever the soldiers tell him to do and stuff.
Rule number four.
Okay, I think the biggest thing in mind is the smoke. Like, every day when the Jews come out and work, they always point at the smoke, saying, like, there's people in the smoke. The so people are in the air. We're breathing them in. Like, that's a really...
It's so, like,
really,
oblivious. They, like, live in oblivion.
But they understand that they're burning their own people because they are assigned, you know, the strong Jews work in the furnace, the weak Jews go in the furnace.
Oh,
that's how it works in the book. And I think, like, the furnace and the smoke is a big thing that has to be in the story because, like, this is where they're all going to die.
That was the killing machine they used.
Like, are they going to die? Yeah, yeah.
I think, like, hearing that from, like, a child's perspective is even more, like,
like, he's 15,
like,
so he understands
a
bit,
yeah.
Like...
But, like, he's still a child, and you think about, like, all the characters in these books are all very young, and they're experiencing this trauma at such a young age, and to be 15 and to have to know that, like, that's what's happening to
breathing
all the people
in, like,
you.
Your friends.
Yeah,
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 like that's,
yeah,
that's pretty,
no, that's a lot.
Pretty dark.
Okay, question number four. How does the psychological effect of war differ between... So, I think this is, like... This question is kind of interesting because every person has, like, different ways of dealing with things. And so we talk about, like, Paul, like, the main character in my story, I feel like he's very, like, kind of passive with his emotions. He doesn't really express them that much. Whereas you have someone like Himmelstoss, who's, like, very... He takes his anger and his emotions out on the other soldiers because he has all this power that he's been given. And I think that has to do with the lack of emotion that he has because of the war. So, like, you have people like Paul who are kind of passive, and then you have people like Himmelstoss who take it out in anger. And then you have people like Tiaden who are being affected by Himmelstoss's behavior and then, like, need to say something about it. So it's, like, a whole other world of characters and, like, things that you don't really expect to live through. And I think people's different coping mechanisms and, like, being stuck in a small space with all these people makes it really difficult to try and deal with that.
I have, like, a really big contrast in this point of, like, this part of the book kind of stuff, because on one hand, like, Marie, the war makes her weak and extremely helpless. Like, she's, like I said, like, 6,000 times, I know, she's blind, and so she has no idea what's going on. She can't even go to the bathroom by herself. She needs someone to, like, help her get to the bathroom and stuff. But then on the other hand, my character, Werner, he gets an opportunity to go to a really prestigious school where he's kind of, like, the star pupil because he's just, like, super smart and he's able to just, like, create tons of, like, different, like, motors and, like, I don't know, but, like, manly stuff, you know? And it gives him, like, rank, so it makes him not just a poor orphan boy anymore. And he's given opportunities that he would never have. And he gains, like, a lot of power, so it's making him stronger. So, like, the contrast between both of them, war makes one of them weak and helpless. And on the other hand, war builds the other one up and makes them powerful. So it's kind of cool to see how, like, the war gives and takes in different ways to different people.
For my book, it's different from each character. From Bruno's mother, she knows that her husband's in the war. So when her husband has a different task in his job, she knows that her son, Bruno, they both have to go somewhere. He has to convince his son that you can't stay here because it's not safe, it's not worth it, because you don't know what could happen since the war is going on. You don't know what could happen. One day, if you stay in one area, you don't know, one day you could be dead instead of going to... If you move, you could be safer there instead of staying in the same area the whole time.
So in my book, it talks about the old man that was forced to go with the rest of the Jews that got sent to the camp. But then somehow he got away and got to escape. And then he comes back to the village and warns the people about what he saw and what he had gone through. But they all told him that, oh, this won't happen, and they just ignored him and thought he was going mad or stuff. But then just Ellie actually believed him and talked to his dad, but his dad just sided with the rest of the people of the village, while Ellie was, like, buddying with the guy and, like, doing their rituals and stuff in the synagogue.
Yeah.
And like getting more information about what he saw and what happened, and then that stuff actually got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I think for my book, a group of people are affected in the same way, like the Jews. They're living in a world of fear. Like, they don't want to die, but it looks like they will die because the Germans aren't treating them so good. And the Germans take pride in doing this. Like the Germans went from, like, you know, jobless people to, like, narcissistic, nationalist German people supporting, you know, Hitler. And they think this is, like, a laughingstock. They're very sadistic in their jobs. But there's this one guy, this Polish officer, who joined the German SS, and he seemed like the most subtle human-like person in the war, as he treated like the Jews, like with care, with respect. He didn't treat them like other Germans did, how like they would just beat them for fun, or like they would like throw them in like the furnaces for no reason at all. Yeah.
So question number 5. What coping mechanisms do the main characters use to handle the trauma of the war? So in my book, it's very prominent that all the soldiers use like joking as a kind of coping mechanism, because when they're describing like the horrors of war, it's very like cut and dry. They kind of like, Paul like lists off, and he's like, oh, like this person, he's dead. Like this person, he's dead. And he like, it's very like cut and dry. And so when they make jokes, it's kind of just to bring light to the situation. It almost distracts you momentarily.
It's to change the mood,
to make it
better, yeah.
Yeah, to kind of distract the reader, and like it makes you forget that like they're real people. And then there's like a character, it's like his name is Mueller, and he like constantly like asks questions like to everyone. And I think that's like a way of distracting himself, because it's not like they have like games or like phones that they can just like kind of think off, right? It's like you're stuck in a trench with these people for a long time. You need to like find a way to occupy yourself. And so he asks questions like, what are you guys going to do after like when the war is over, or like about like their wife and like their kids or like other jobs or hobbies and stuff. And like, I think that's his way of like coping.
On one hand, Marie kind of ignores it and like
is in denial about it. She pretends that like everything, like nothing, it doesn't exist, and that everything's gonna go back to normal, and she's just waiting. She's like, oh, well, tomorrow, you know, it'll be fine, and we can go back to our home, and everything's gonna be fine. She like tells that to her dad. She always says, right, dad, like everything's gonna be fine, we're gonna be able to go home. And her dad like never answers, because like he knows that nothing's ever gonna be the same, and it's not gonna go back to normal. And then on the other hand, Werner kind of treats it like a game, like it's just like one big job to him. And he like uses it as a way to kind of avoid the mine, so he kind of blends in with the enemy on like kind of way, and like avoids the wrath of the war, you know, because when, if he like joins the side of like the soldiers and everything like that, he won't have to worry about all the effects the citizens get and stuff. And it's like he's so high up in his class right now that he kind of gets special benefits, so it kind of is like benefiting him in a way.
So for my book, since Bruno didn't really know what a soldier was in the beginning in the war, so in the beginning, he didn't know what, he saw his father's uniform, with a, and he didn't know what it was. So I don't think he knows what the trauma of war is at the moment. Since in the beginning of the book, he doesn't really know what his father does, doesn't know what a soldier's uniform is, doesn't know basically what war technically is at that moment. So.
Well, my book talks about how they were always waiting on the hope that the Red Army would defeat the Germans and come save them. But that I didn't get to the point where that actually happens, or whatever they get saved with.
I think for my character is that he just prays for like everything to end. And since he's Jewish, he like just prays to his God like every day that the suffering would end. Or like, and he also has his dad with them, so you know they just stay together, you know, hoping that they can find the rest of the family after the Holocaust is over. But they know that is like there's like no end to this, and like they just huddle up together, make one clique, and just share things together, just to like reduce the stress, the anxiety, the horrors.
Okay, question number 6. How does the main character's ego and superego differ? So I think that with like all the trauma of the war, the superego and the ego for at least Paul and like Tiaden have kind of like combined, even though they are like both people who are kind of compassionate and like caring at heart. I think that their reality and morality have kind of like clashed and become one, and they've lost their sense of emotion and like ability to care for others as much, because they treat death as something very simple and like I described earlier, like very cut and dry, and it doesn't seem like it's affecting them in any way anymore, like not as much, unless it's like their friends.
So Marie's ego and superego hasn't really developed yet. She is really young and she's just like very naive, and so her like morality and reality is kind of just what other people have influenced her. I don't think she's really formed her own opinions or anything yet, because she just does what she's told because she's kind of like too scared to really stray away from that. And then Werner, he wants to protect his sister and he wants to make her life better, but he also goes to do things that better his life and kind of leaves her in the dust in a way. So his super ego is kind of doing things that benefit him while his ego wants to help her, you know? So it's very conflicting there.
So for Bruno, he's really naive and all that. Like,
he's always asking questions.
He's always asking questions a lot of questions. Like, he learned in school about different parents and their dads and different, like, jobs and all that, but since for him he doesn't really know what his father does, so when they moved he was like why are we moving and all that. He doesn't know why they were moving, he doesn't know why they couldn't stay at their old house, why they had to move and all that. So for superego, he had to move, he was being selfish, holding his family back, wanting him to stay back at the old house and all that.
Just saw anything.
I'm not really 100% with like his ego and his superego, but I would say like, he's just trying to stay alive by like following what other people are doing, so he doesn't like get killed by the Nazis. So whatever he gets told, he just does it and doesn't complain or try to not or
so
resist.
He's similar like sheep. He's just following what everyone else does, you know, blending in, not to stick out. Like, he's not the black sheep and the white sheep crew, right? So like they won't pick him off for like anything for other reasons.
Just trying to like stay hidden
as
long as
stay
he can,
yeah.
Like stay safe.
What do you think he like wants though? Like if he like wasn't in, because he's in the camp.
Yeah,
right?
Auschwitz. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think he would like? Does he want to escape?
Of course, he wants like to eat. He wants food and crap, but like.
He also trying to stay alive.
He wants to
know?
Care for everyone too, because there's people like they're all Jews.
A
his Jewish
emotions
community.
Are kind of like taking over.
Yeah.
He like wants to help everyone around him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.